All right, people, we talking babies. we talking babies.
And we're not talking about my business as my baby. We know that's the case for many.
Real crying shitting babies. Love them. And also with the magical news of Evelyn is pregnant again.
Mm-hmm.
Whoop whoop.
We got another one coming, y'all.
We've got a total of now 4 nugs between the two of us coming into the equation. So I feel we're highly educated on now how maternity leaves.
We have the credentials to talk about this.
Oh, Lord.
And for anyone who consumes this podcast on YouTube instead of the audio, I feel like, yeah, duh, you've looked like for the last 14 weeks.
If you guys only heard the back, I'm like, choke it down, Ev, choke it down.
Don't worry, we have Steven edit out the barfing, gagging.
If we could only have a compilation of these things. But I felt, unless I'm living under a rock and someone's having these conversations, not many conversations going on around running a business or being high level in a business, having a baby, what that shift looks like in your life as a business owner. So I think some reminiscing of stories, if you're listening and you're already past this season of life, I'm sure it'll be cracking up with a bunch of, oh, I thought it was going to go down this way and actually it was chaos, and here's me drafting, bouncing on the knee, and for me and Kaya's sake, like just kicking up the stroller. This kid just never stopped crying as I'm trying to manage things. And then also leading us down towards, I'm listening, I'm pregnant now, or it's to come, and you've scared the out of me. What should I be doing? Thank you.
Right, because it'll be potentially you, it has been, or it might be, or will be, or whatever, you and your business. But also, you're also going to have employees that go on maternity leave and what that looks like. It's so hard for, especially the first time, I would assume. I feel like, Shayna, you can let me know second time. It is so hard to plan for what it's actually going to be like. It's really easy to say, okay, here's my plan. I'm going to come back after X weeks. I'm going to work this many hours. This is going to be my schedule. I actually, hilariously, put in advance my breastfeeding times on my calendar.
She did. She really did.
Like, oh, I'll just space them 3 hours out and I'll know I can't have meetings during that time. Now, like, no, that's not how it works.
Yeah. Wireless pumps, people. Wireless pumps. No. No scheduling. No, I'm just kidding. But no, it really is unexpected. So prior to baby one, if you think you can work with this kid, no.
Right.
You know, short-lived in the beginning, sure, with napping, if it depends on the baby. But, you know, your first 3 months, this kid's waking up. You're waking up every 2-3 hours with the kid. Hopefully, they can settle quickly. Maybe not. They might be someone who just needs a lot of that contact. You know, your hands are just definitely not as available as you think they are going to be. So what I will say in terms of what I did with the first child is I normally wouldn't have someone do this. So yeah, more investment, more money going out. But I had to call every single day in my email, reading emails, being my hands, so that I basically wasn't responsible. Like, I wasn't taking client meetings at the time, initially in the beginning, but communication was going out and I could have Bluetooth in and someone else was just being my hands. So I could have that level of communication. But yes, falsified expectations for how much work I thought that actually could get done with a baby.
Right.
For me, I think, how much time did I take with Mila? Do you remember?
Truly off or like adjusted schedule?
Truly off and then adjusted schedule.
I feel like truly off was like 4 to 6, not like hugely long, but like a good, like you took a maternity leave. And for like the whole first year, it was very variable.
So for the first year, how I managed the baby was a neighbor. I got a neighbor 2 houses down that was willing to nanny. So she would come in and out multiple times a day. If I had meetings, I had the child watch. If not, that's where that like part-time, like it kind of was part-time because I couldn't really be hands-on and everything. And I would honestly say that the business did not grow its biggest that year. Out of all the years, that was not our biggest climb of growth.
Right.
Now, when Kaya comes round 2, this is where there's a lot of business going on.
Mm-hmm.
I am unwilling to delay our progress. The genius in me just sold a service that all pointed to me. Dummy. And I only took 2 weeks off and I was completely back full time.
Mm-hmm. Not ideal.
Not ideal. Business growth wise, yay, but not ideal.
And I had my baby in between there. So when I found out I was pregnant with my first, Shayna was like, this is perfect timing. I am back from Mila. I am ready to freaking rock. This is the perfect time for you to take a cruise. I got it. I want to be back full time. I took my year. Let's go. Oh, wait. Nope. I'm pregnant too.
Yeah. And that's something to say. You need to have a strong partner in this. So if you're on your own, you got to get support now.
I thought you were going to say you need to be on birth control. Just kidding.
Oh, no, no. If you're on your own, as soon as you know you're pregnant, you need to get someone in by your side, assistant-wise, so they can get in, start being able to do what you can do and support each other. So yeah, that was probably another thing. I was like, you know, our kids number two is only 6 months apart from Lila. I just told her that she could have this year. I'm not going to take that back from her. And the way we repositioned and grew, I really couldn't delegate that much. And I just was unwilling. And I'm not saying that you want to be in that position at all.
Right. Because your business is your baby too. Different baby. But yeah, your business is your baby too. So it was for Shayna, it was a conscious decision. I'm unwilling to pump the brakes over here. So this is what I got to figure out. So now it's like, if we knew then what we know now, like me coming to the table being like, oh, you know, guess what? Pregnant again. It was like, okay, let's prepare. We have these 8 months to lay out these priorities, replace these system of procedures, get you out of these roles so that if you want to come back and not take them back, you can. It's so beautiful. It's going to be a lot. We're going to be pushing for these next several months, but we know what we need to do.
Yeah.
We did not know what we needed to do before.
No, we did not know what we needed to do before. And honestly, it wasn't even a thought process of replacing, training, carving out roles, having the system of procedures written to point to, having the necessary time. It was literally like, okay, everything you're doing, I'll just do. See you later in 3 months.
Right. This is going to be hell. So please come back.
Literally just choosing hell, and it is what it is. And that's what we're going to do. And it's going to be fine. It's going to be short lived, and it's going to be 3 months.
Right.
Can be done a different way. Number one, expectations can be outlined. Like with your clients that you are expecting, there's a new addition to your team. You'll be starting to see her as she learns my process and starts to partake in the project workflow. And in these 3 months or whatever, she will be running point on communications. She is my hands. She will be calling. You can still have control. You're still running a business. I've never walked away from the business more than 4 weeks, and that wasn't for a baby. It was just because we finally got to the point where I can do it and take a break and take a vacation. You can definitely, I feel like, get yourself in a position to be able to walk away and reset expectations for 4 weeks, have an assistant in, managing communications, knowing where information lives, and can call you on an emergency if need to. And then start returning in very slowly, part-time, with still just directing. The biggest thing I'd say is an assistant who you can have daily communication with, where you can have a Bluetooth in, who has a flexible schedule, doesn't have to be dead set on this time or that time or whatever the case may be, and is just kind of loosely there throughout the day to listen to the voice note or give you a call when it's a good time, is probably what's needed to get you through calmly during this patch. But they need to be brought in. And I would say 3 months is more comfortable and still way pressure. If they're doing everything, 3 months is not enough. 6 months is the ideal. Like, get past your first trimester, get past the puking.
Yeah. And Godspeed with that. I feel you.
And buckle up and lock in. And this might be the one time I tell you, yes, work over the 40 hours, do what you need to do, put time into your assistant, get that confidence, put the right support around you so that you can go take that maternity and discover what that new routine is going to look like for you. And a lot of times you're going to realize that you're going to need to reduce some capacity, even if you're going to have a nanny, which is basically what the girls had for before they went to school for Kaya. They had someone 9 hours a day from 8 to 5, always showed up. In retrospect to prior to kids, that still was a reduction of my hours.
Right.
Still a reduction. You're likely your 60, 70 hour, like you're just living in work, work's life. It's all the same. Kids come, you still have boundaries. And even with that, that's a pretty long set day for a nanny. most people are going to have shorter, or you're managing school. Kids are in school for 6-7 hours a day. That's it. Then between pickup and drop off, you're even cut thinner. So if you're unwilling to have someone pick up your kids, if you're unwilling to do those things, you are reducing hours and you can still grow a business inside of that. It's just time that we really put in, implement systems that you can manage this business from, high level reporting system that makes you feel in control.
Yep. Because what that ends up looking like for a lot of our clients, they reduce their hours. And what they do is they reduce their hours of being the business owner, of being the CEO. And all of their time now, they're swamped in projects. They feel like they're still not getting everything done. And they're not able to switch into that other role, which is the only role you're irreplaceable in. Sorry, but you could even have a principal designer if you really needed to, but you can't have another visionary of who you are, what you want your company to be. So I feel like if we knew then what we knew now, and we could tell you how to circumvent some of the challenges that we've seen, coming back and reducing your hours, don't let yourself get swallowed inside of the business. You still have to be able to work on the business.
Controlling the pricing model, whole other conversation. It's control. It comes down to reports. You can let almost everything go as long as you have a system to control it. That's all you need. Start from the beginning, sales, even from the discovery call, all the way close through intake. What would you need to control that to allow someone else to do it is a reporting system so you can see how many conversations they're having, how many of those are closing, what's being said inside the call. And then your job is to coach on that and build something different. If you're seeing that 11 leads came in for the month, none of them closed, all of them have budget requests under $3,000. You are there on a reporting level, just analyzing data, communicating to your team, we need to start carving and selling a lower amount of service. And this is how I want you to reintroduce that in that initial conversation with the client. This is how we're going to talk about it. Let's see if we can convert that. There's a reporting system right there. Then you need reporting systems to control your tasks, right? These are the task management systems we talk about, a way for people to assign tasks against a project and know how much work to schedule for that project so that you can look at a report that says, here's everything that's getting done on a project and here's where all the statuses are, whether it's behind, delayed for whatever reason, complete, whatever the case. High level, you open that report, you say things are behind or delayed, you get involved. Sometimes people do respond more to the owner. It's just an authority thing. It's a weird thing. Or contractor knows your number, doesn't save your assistance number. They are not picking up a number that I don't know. I'm like that, people. I'm not picking up a number I don't know. Could be simply that. And then you're getting on the phone to be like, George, save this girl's number. I'm on maternity leave. She's the one communicating with you. You know when to step in and have the conversations. Another report, money, collection of design fees, that can have a high level reporting system where someone else is doing all the invoicing, everything's going out. There's a report you look at for any concerns where the project currently is, the money that's collected. Everything can be delegated during this time, over-delegated beyond what you are going to need in the future. But you have to have these reports that you can check in on a high level and communicate. And that's where you catch things. Like, wait a second. Why are none of the task assignments there? Accountability. You're there to lock in accountability for your support team.
Right. And guess what? Without these reports, let's not lie, our hormones are raging. We are starting to spiral. It is feeling emotional, not analytical.
No one's husband listened to this call. Anthony, turn off the podcast, even though you're past this stage. No husband's allowed. I pop off when my husband tells me I'm being hormonal. But like, so facts are facts, ladies.
Facts are facts, ladies. I'll never forget one of the first team meetings I had to lead after having Lila. I was supposed to be showing all of our new developments, which got pushed, got tested. I was actually really proud of myself. We got there, we launched it. And now I have a meeting in front of all of our team, which is probably like 4 times smaller than. Realistically, I'm probably talking to like 6 people.
Oh yeah, way smaller.
It was always when Lila was napping. You know, the chaos happened. Lila stopped napping for a good 2 weeks. My help did not come. And I have this meeting and I'm leading this meeting and I'm talking about all of our new developments as a company, pushing a stroller back and forth with my baby crying.
It was the bassinet. You were shaking. I'll never forget it because she broke down after this call.
You know, like I could give myself credit now. I got through it. We had the meeting. Everybody knew what they needed to know. And I called Shayna like crying like I haven't probably cried since. Like, could you even understand all my words or was I crying too hard? This was my meeting. I knew I had to lead it. It was total chaos. My baby, like just now I'm realizing hormones, people, hormones.
Yeah, no, it was way worse to her than it really was because even people will say like on a virtual call, oh, sorry, my dog's barking, right? Or whatever. And the microphone doesn't pick up what you're hearing usually. And so in this instance, it was definitely that too. Like you could hear that she was like oinking here and there, but it was not like I could just see it in her face and like the arm going.
My nervous system is firing. My baby's crying. That's chemical at that point. Like you feel that.
Yeah, first time she's back to like taking a call as well. You're like returning to be a professional. Now you're also a mom. You're in an identity crisis slightly. And also, I have to probably say, like, I don't know if I had many of those too. So you're coming back to my first baby too. So I also think that there was like an expectation for you. Like, I just had the neighbor ended up being working for Mila. Like, Mila was never, ever on a call.
Right.
The one rule I had was like, if I'm working with you or whatever, this kid's being watched, and I had that nice flexibility to have that popcorn schedule, and you didn't really struggle to find someone. And it was just like, you weren't representing yourself in the way that you wanted to. And in your mind, you're hearing what we're not. And so she kept checking in, being like, oh, sorry, did you hear this?
Now I'm letting my baby down. I'm letting my team down. I'm letting Shayna down. I was beside myself, heaving, crying.
Now, I felt very bad and I calmed you down. At the same time, as a business owner, I was like, I like this. Like, you know, like it was a weird, like, not I like it for you. Like, as your friend, I'm like, chill out. It wasn't that bad. You're fine. Like, I really did tell you, like, this is fine. This was not as extreme as you thought.
But it wasn't fine for me.
Yeah, 100%. It's not how you wanted to carry yourself professionally. Like, it meant something to you to not have that in the space. So that just goes to show babies are unpredictable. You cannot control their schedule. If you think you're going to, come back.
Or if you're like, no, I totally do, tell us your secrets. We want you on this podcast. Come be a guest.
Yeah, straight up, share the secrets, people. There is so much going on. You definitely have to give yourself grace inside this time, but prep work can be done. You have to get someone very integrated with you to be able to do that. I took marketing onboardings for Evelyn during that time.
Yeah. She had a whole pipeline lined up for me when I came back. All the clients who wanted to work with me, what she sold them so that at least I could come back and like start providing services. We weren't starting our funnel from the beginning.
Yeah, exactly. We changed the process a little bit to make it work for me, for what I could do, for the knowledge I felt was fair throughout those onboardings. And she came back and it was set to go. Client expectations were clear that we close a service, you close that sale. Even if it's a new client intake coming in, you don't want to start a new project till you're back from maternity. That's completely understandable. However, intakes can still happen, projects can be still closed, and people can absolutely wait 6 weeks or however long you're wanting to stretch that out to work with you on get on schedule. But we definitely want to have support to take the initial calls, to bring them through, to at least start the conversations. And having the support to have someone in your inbox, I think, is critical.
Because you can put it in your automatic response all day. You can put it in your email signature. CC this person. People aren't going to do it. People don't pay attention. You need someone who can get into your inbox for you and see the things that you don't want to have to see. And also, business owners, I feel like, actually, I just had a call with one of our clients recently, and she was talking about her employee's maternity leave. And she is being so conscientious. She is preparing. She wants to give her at least X number of weeks after the baby comes to refigure out what that schedule is going to look like. How many hours is she going to want? Now she can't really hire and bring someone in because she can't offer a job until she knows what this person's going to want to come back to and be reliable for. And I feel like designers, and Shay, you're the very similar way. You think about your employees and their maternity so much, and then don't give yourself the same standards or preparation or credit. You're just doing like, oh, I'll figure it out, or I'll come back and do all the things or whatever. It's like you've got to treat yourself like that employee that you're so understanding of and so giving to. And many, many business owners, I feel like, are underestimating what they're going to need and just thinking like, oh, well, I'll just suck it up if I have to. And we don't want that for you.
Yeah. You're pregnant now, you're early term, and you're running a business. I would be pouring into ensuring I have templated every presentation and every possible visual deliverable so that it's very clear what I want things to look like. I would be pouring into written processes so that I have things written down that even if someone is new, they can return back to it, reference it. I would get an assistant implemented as soon as possible because you can get a human working before you can get your documentation supported. And those things can happen simultaneously. And you definitely want someone in your email, in your inbox, helping with your schedule and maybe crossing the line of that personal side support a little bit during that time. But you are definitely over-delegating during that time. If we have all the time in the world, I would be preferring that we are doing a data dump exercise, the podcast we have, where you're getting control of your financials, you're understanding what you can afford, and you are pre-prepping. And that was another thing that I probably should have done sooner is find the nanny before the kid's born. Find someone before your kid is born because it is a journey and a half finding someone. So hard, hardest part.
Childcare is the hardest part. People talk about the newborn phase. People talk about the chapped nipples. Childcare is the hardest part. Sarah, if you're listening, you're my angel and I love you. Never leave me.
Very, very lucky if you find one and they stay. But that's the reality is I would figure out what your childcare is going to look like. If you're going to do the nanny thing, find that person before you're there. Daycare, get them on a list way before you get there. Your life is going to become very routine. So the other thing I would say is if you're not a routine person, start locking into a routine, start operating your life in that 20 or 30 hour schedule, whatever you want mom life and business owner life to look like, figure out what those hours are. It's going to change once you get that kid because you really don't know.
Oh yeah. Be ready to absolutely rock it upside down, but start preparing yourself to even think that way.
Yeah. Especially if you're really trying to like year one, you know, you want as much time as possible. 30 hours is probably of dedicated business owners never fully off.
Oh my God. I started doing these mental gymnastics, you guys, of like, okay, but if my child cares with her from this time to this time, and I do the shift this time to this time, okay, I'm still spending more time with my baby than her each day. So I feel like that felt good for me. Like, you know, there's so much emotional toil that goes into figuring out your balance of what you want, what your baby needs, how you want it to look, what your business needs. Cause I also wasn't willing to let myself down professionally either. You know, like it is a lot and it's awesome and it's amazing, but it is a lot.
It's a lot. You need a routine. You need a solid support system, both to the baby and both to the business. And you need to be focusing on the controls you need to manage the chaos because you are managing chaos a little bit for a little bit of time, but you need more support than you think. You're likely not being able to work with 100% focus. Like a business owner's brain is never just off. It's not like, haha, I work from whatever you're working, 9 to 5, and then that's it. My brain just turns off. No, you're always thinking, you're always there, you're having conversations, but this is dedicated working time on deliverables and to the client. That needs booked, scheduled, and people need to be watching children for you. So you got to carve out that life and then get in control of those task assignments so you know when you're overshooting your own self, you're putting too much on yourself.
Yep, the task management, that part of the triangle. Go back to the episode where we kept doing a triangle in front of our faces. The task management will be so huge to set up before so that when you do come back, you can really look analytically. No emotions involved, no hormones involved at everything you've said you're going to do and when you said you were going to do it by. And there is a number there that can flag you if it is simply too much.
Your business should be, might be, or can become to be the only thing you can really control around you.
Mm-hmm.
Can't control that kid and the moods. Now you're going to have a kid. You've got some co-parenting to do. You've always got influences on the outside of you that are going to feel chaotic. Activities come, all the things. Controlling the business, giving yourself reports that you can look into. You got to find a way to lock in or it feels like you can start to spin. And if you're spinning, you'll emotionally crash out and you've got hormones that are not being your friend during this time as well. So if you are there, come talk to us. We'll help you make a game plan.
The support system does exist on the business side, at least.
Yeah, 100%. The other stuff you got to figure out for yourself.
Sorry.
Yeah. A whole journey of self-discovery.
I finally figured mine out. I don't want to help you with that.
Next one comes, changes again.
I remember the day that I was like, wow, I found Sarah. She's amazing. I really know what my baby's schedule looks like. I just rocked my day. I closed the door to my office. I remember it. And then I looked at my baby and all of a sudden she was a toddler. And I was like, shit, I have to do this all again. This is all about to freaking change. I remember it like just being like so hilarious. If you ever just think, yeah, I've got it all figured out in terms of mom life, that's not how it's supposed to go.
Same thing as business and growth. It will change. You have to shift. You have to adapt. You have to readjust your routine to make it work.
And you know what, guys? Let's just all remember that men could never. Thank God it's us. You guys.
Anthony, if you're still on, get off the call.
We love you and we respect you, but you could never, bro.
But true. It's hard work, guys. It's hard work. There's no sugarcoating it. You're exhausted. You're trying to self-identify again. You still have a business to run. It's a lot of pressure in a lot of categories. You yourself are on a journey of healing and rediscovery. So if you're listening, you're either redoing this or you're getting there. We got to focus.
Or you're laughing because you're past it and you're like, haha, ladies, enjoy.
Yeah, wish I knew. Still working on it. Still working on controlling the chaos. It's all the same stuff. Whether you break a pelvis, you get unexpectedly sick, all of these things are just, what do I do when I have to pull myself out of the business more than I'd like to? It comes down to the triangle, control at the center of this triangle. It all comes down to control and reports, from the pricing, from the tasks, to managing the clients and the money. Control it is what's going to allow you to over-delegate through maternity when you need to, and understand when you're returning back to not overshoot yourself so you can also show up and be the mom you want to be and establish those boundaries that you want to have. And that was probably one of my final lessons when I was full blast and had those 9 hours of support. Like, it was leave the house, go to the gym, get my 7.5 hour dedicated block time in, and go home. And I had boundaries with myself on how to close out that day, which I've said it on another recording, having a closing call with an assistant, where even if I was on meetings for 7 hours straight, on my car ride home, there's newfound time, and I have someone being my hands. It was something that did eventually get maintained, even though actually the first time I did that was in maternity, in that initial time. But close out your day in a way that lets your brain calm down, and when you wake up, it can fire back on. But also trying to give yourself some rules to create that space, which is very hard. It was very hard for me to figure out how to create that space. For me, I had to not work from home. It required that car ride that let me like do a closeout process, create space, enter the home as mom, not business owner. That's a hard mark as well, especially when you have this baby and you're working directly from home. So my last suggestion would be remove yourself from the home more. Go work someplace else. Create that separation. Create that space.
Yeah. Because again, it's chemical. If you can hear that baby crying, even with the nanny you trust more than anything, it's chemical. Your brain is now split in two. And because you're already splitting your time much more than you ever have before, you can't afford to split your brain.
Yeah, 100%.
But guys, we're freaking killing it. You know, all of us that are doing it are freaking killing it. This is just some of the many things we've learned along the way, and there are many more to come. Hopefully you're cracking up and you have your stories too. Either the times that you felt like you really did not do it, like me, or the times that you knew you did. But all of that is to say that we are here for you, and where the business is concerned, the support exists. If you need me personally, you have me till October. So
yeah,
I'm just kidding. But we're here for all of y'all. We love you. And if you're also rocking this double duty, triple duty, infinite duty life, let's get it.
And I'm going to follow up to say she's here till October, but Kristen's getting groomed for 5 months so that there's no worries and no fears that clients can get what they need. Even if that's, this is a little specialty of Evelyn's and I have it on her docket when she comes back, it's just to show that with a plan in place, go have a baby, people will support, expectations will be aligned.
soak it up because you're not split in half.
Right. Expectations will be outlined with clients. It will be okay. Communication is key.
You're allowed to live your life.
Allowed.
We give you permission.
Happy baby moon, like wherever you're at.
Yeah.
Today, we gave you the episode that we wish someone had handed us before our first babies arrived. The honest, no fluff breakdown of what this season actually does to your business and what you need to do about it. Now you have the roadmap. The only thing left is to actually use it and pop that sucker out.
We've been there, y'all. Between the two of us, we're about to have four kids. And we've made every mistake in the book, from going back to work after just 2 weeks to leading a team meeting while pushing a stroller with a screaming baby. None of that was the plan. And today we gave you the real version of what you actually need to do before, during, and after your maternity leave so that you can protect your business and show up for your family.
So here's what I want you to sit with. You would never let an employee navigate a maternity leave without a plan, without support, without clear expectations. So why are you doing that to yourself? You are the most important person in your business. Treat yourself like it. The prep work is the plan. Getting your assistant in place, building your reporting systems, templating your deliverables, locking in your childcare. None of that happens overnight, which means you need to start now, not when you're 8 months in and exhausted.
So here's your next step. If you're pregnant, newly back to work, or just planning ahead, start with one thing this week. Maybe it's getting someone into your inbox so your hands can be free. Maybe it's writing down your first process so someone else can follow it. Maybe it's finally locking in your triangle, your pricing, task management, and reporting, so that when you step back, the business keeps moving without you. Because here's the truth, your business can be the one thing you actually have control over during this season of beautiful, chaotic, unpredictable life. Build the reports, delegate the tasks, and set the expectations.
If you're at the point where you know you need to prepare but don't know where to start, or you've tried to figure it out alone and ended up more overwhelmed than where you began, we are here for you. We walked so many designers through exactly this, and we will meet you right where you are. So schedule a free call with us at fordesignerbusiness.com or click the link in the show notes. You don't have to do this alone.
If today's episode hit home for you, please help us reach more designers just like you by taking a moment to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening. New episodes drop every Tuesday, so be sure to subscribe and you'll never miss one. And remember, you can send us your anonymous voicemails at fordesignerbusiness.com. Maybe you're pregnant and panicking about what happens to your business. Maybe you came back too soon and now you're drowning. Whatever your question is, send it in and you just might receive free coaching on a future episode.
Listen, this season is hard. It is beautiful and it is hard. But the designers who make it, the ones who build the business and the life, are the ones who asked for help before they needed it. They built systems. They brought in the support. They gave themselves grace and a game plan. You can do it too.
So take action today. Get your assistant in place, build your triangle, set your boundaries, and give yourself permission to be both a great business owner and a great mom, because you absolutely can be both. If you need us, we're here. Schedule that free call and let's build this together. Until next time, keep designing and keep dreaming.
Let's get it, mamas.